we begun a new series. Amen. It's 2 weeks in. All right. Manna versus Mammon. Why Christians stay broke. Now, that subtitle is going to give us all kinds of problems. I know it is. because it would appear at the onset that I am advocating that every Christian should be wealthy, and I'm not. And every Christian should have tons of money, and I'm not. I am, however, advocating that every Christian needs to be a good steward of whatever provision God has made for them. Amen? Amen. And that they should maximize on their stewardship at all costs, because God is worthy of that maximization. Amen? Amen. If you look at Matthew and the parable of the talents, you see that God is a God that enjoys us multiplying things. And he enjoys giving us stewardship over things to see how well we handle them. Hello? Hello? And so a Christian's endeavor is anything God gives you, you need to multiply it. Whether he gives you a ministry, if he gives you a job, if he gives you a career, if he gives you your own business, if he gives you a friend. In our next series, we're going to look at love and relationships. Whatever God gives you, he's giving you something that you might maximize on that. In our tribe chief training on last week, that's a very hard tongue twister, tribe chief training. We discussed what are they doing with the souls that God has placed in their care. Have they maximized or multiplied in some area within these individuals' lives? Souls are the most valuable thing on the face of this earth. People. Not gold, not silver, not platinum, not uranium. No type of metal or precious element is nearly as valuable as what Christ shed his blood for, and that was us. So if God will endeavor to give you oversight over his sheep, you must be something special, number one. And number two, he expects to see how you have increased in those individuals' lives. Amen. Hello? Amen. And then if you don't, he's not going to give you no more. The Bible says in Matthew that he'll take that he gave you and give it to someone else. And you wonder why so many people seem like they get blessed all the time. It's because they knew what to do with the first blessing. It seems like all things always go well for them because they knew what to do with the first blessing. Hello, somebody. And out of that, we find our stewardship. So on last week, this is part two. In part one, we learned why Christians stay broke. And the first reason in part one was because they don't give in measure. And we discussed that in great detail. Please, we're going to post the podcast from last week. I was a little hesitant on it, but I'm going to post the teaching on last week, but the workout with the worksheets that we did, we're not going to post that, okay? But we'll post the teaching. Similar for this week, we'll post the teaching. But to our podcast listeners, there's a whole segment where we work through it as a congregation over several worksheets that we will not post. If you need these worksheets or would like to see them, please email our office. Find our website at www.renewworshipcenter.org. And we would love to email you our packets that we're using. Amen? Amen. Okay, so last week we learned Christians stay broke. Number one reason is because they don't give in measure. Christians always feel, for the most part, that we give. And most Christians give. But they don't give to the extent that they expect to see blessed. They give with, you know, excuses. They give. Somebody tap them kids. Who's in there with them? Glenda? Every time Glenda's in there, both otters, two otters, ain't nothing happening in that classroom. It is just fun all day. Yay! All right, so, but nevertheless, we are looking at how Christians give, sometimes not in measure. They don't give till it hurts. They don't give sacrificially. Most times, they don't even give full of faith. And then they expect a huge turnaround instantaneously. We talked about that. We talked about improper motivations for giving. We talked about improper priorities for giving and expectations. That was all in part one. Part two, in review, we looked at the number two reason why Christians don't give, why Christians stay broke is number two, they give up on their goals. And I wanted to pick up there. The Christian life is difficult. And somewhere between church tradition and modern church, we've kind of concluded that if something gets too hard, it must mean I should stop. It must mean if it's too difficult and I can change it, then I should change it. That's pretty much how we've concluded, that if it's hard and it's too difficult and I have a way to change this, I'm just going to change it. But we fail to recognize the times when we change something that we're changing it before God is finished doing something in it, before he's done working out something in our heart and our character and our soul that is necessary to make us stronger and better on the inside. We often say, if I can change it in his heart, I might as well just change it. But it just takes a couple of thoughts ahead to recognize, and most of us can do that, what God could be working on if I leave this difficulty here. You can always see it. What God could be working on if I just maintain this course. You always notice it, but you just figure, that's just me being extra. And at that moment, you have to decide, do I want God to work on me in this area, on the inside, or do I want the end result, the external factor, the problem solved, the situation easier, the way made more plain? Does that make sense? And there are very few times where we actually push beyond that. One of the scriptures I wanted to look at, I believe I could have given this to us on last week, but I'm not sure, but I definitely want to look at it this week, was Proverbs 21:5. As Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. I think this is a great scripture to pick up from last week in terms of why Christians stay broke is that we don't fulfill our goals. We don't know how to remain diligent. Hello, someone. Diligence is something that as Christians, because God, Jesus is love, we feel like every time something is challenging, I can just cry, you know, and then leave it alone. But sometimes there are things that require tears and diligence. You have to do it even though you don't like it. You have to continue even though you are upset. You have to push even though you are in discomfort. Hello, somebody. Diligence to most Christians is, it hurts, ouch, it must mean I should stop, I'm done. And that's really not how this works. Amen? Amen.
Y'all all right out there?
What's going on? All right. So the plans of the diligent lead to what? Surely to what? Plenty. This means if you are diligent, you're steadfast, you're faithful, that it will always lead to plenty. So this means every time you quit on something, that is the reason why you don't have plenty. Every single time. Because the Bible doesn't lie, and it says will lead surely to plenty. Some of us on last week, we've begun using certain apps and different banks to save $5 a day. Hello, somebody? Your diligence, and I know a lot of you were saying, well, should I do it even though my budget is already, I'm already in the negative by the end of the month? You're going to be in the negative for many months, but at least you can be diligent about your $5. Hello, somebody? $5 a day is not going to make or break the thing that you didn't have money for. You will still not have money for that and not have $5 saved up over that week. Does that make sense? If you had to go out to eat that day, you would have definitely spent that $5. Because to you, $5 for food is a necessity. Ignoring the amount of fat present on your body, which would indicate that you don't need food. Hello? Hello? Let's go have to go back to Conquering Diabetes and Obesity series to prove to you that the fat on your body lets you know that you can skip a couple of meals. Like me, I could skip several. Hello, somebody. But if I got $5 and I need to eat, I'm going to spend it and not think twice. I'd be like, look, I can't pay the bill, but what am I going to do, starve? You will use that money for what goal you think is necessary. When we went over the equations in your packet, we saw how much $5 a day could really be costing you had you invested that $5. $10,000 in a decade plus. Hello, somebody. Just $5 could be costing some of you your retirement. $5. Skipping a meal here and there, $5 a day. Now, some of us have skipped meals unintentionally just because we got busy. Hello? Didn't have enough time that day. Hello, somebody? Some of us skipped meals because we had nothing to eat. Yeah, just did not exist. Hello, somebody? Now, but when you are given the opportunity to choose to go without for a greater goal, that's when Christian discipline really has to kick in right there at that point. Are you going to allow yourself to experience lack and discomfort in order for a greater goal? Now, when the next part of the series we're getting into this week, I'm going to tell you right now, some people are not going to finish their budgets on last week. I hope you brought your packets. I have extra ones if you need one this week. Some people are not going to continue their budgets. They're not going to continue to mark off what they've paid and haven't paid. They're just not going to do it. Similarly, today, when we look at how to have that side hustle, some people won't continue their side hustle. They're not going to do it. No matter how much I encourage it, no matter how much I teach on it, they're just not going to complete that in their lives. They're going to make excuses. They're going to say, I don't have enough time. I didn't have enough money. I didn't feel well. I just needed a minute. I just couldn't squeeze out nothing. They're going to make tons of excuses, hello, why they're not doing something. I would like to point out to you that every time you make an excuse, what you're really saying is, I value this current thing more than I value the long-term goal. Every single time you make an excuse, I value this meal more than I value my long-term goal. I value this comfort more than I value that money that I said I wanted. Hello, somebody. You are making a very strong decision that says, I value this more than what I said was a goal. So when some people show up and they have a side hustle, they've got extra income, they've done all this, you have to be able to agree that they wanted that more than they wanted certain comforts in the beginning. And so, rightly so, they deserve to see profit. They were diligent even when it failed. They tried again. They deserve to see profit. Hello? So right off the top, we have to disarm ourselves to know that what budget I don't keep and what goals I don't accomplish, every time I back out of it and justify why I'm not doing it, all I'm really saying is that I value this comfort more than I value my goal long term. Just so you know, every decision. You spend your last five on Starbucks, I value the Starbucks coffee and the comfort I have more than my retirement. Hello? This ability to splurge on this meal, I value this more than my long-term plan or short-term plan. Every single time. The truest is the same is true in your soul. I value this comfort feeling more than I value actual marriage. I value this paycheck more than I value freedom in God. I value this numbing feeling more than I value holiness. Hello, somebody. The saying applies. What ends up happening is most Christians don't spend time looking at what their decision means. What does my decision mean? It's not just A or B. It's what is me choosing A mean and what does me choosing B mean? What does my decision say to me? What does it say about me? What does it mean? Okay, amen. Amen. So let's look at a couple of quotes from last week. One that we're holding true to for this entire series is one way to help the poor is to not be what? Poor. Help yourself so that you will be in a position to help others. That's Bishop Noel Jones. David Bach said, how much you earn has almost no bearing on whether or not you can build or will build wealth. How much you earn. This was a shock to us. most people, he goes on to say, most people wish for a better life. Some people learn, plan, and take action to get a better life. This is kind of where we we stand in churchdom, especially in black church, huh? Is they wish, shout, dance, hop, sing, roll on the floor, snot and cry for a better life, but they fail to plan and they fail to take action. And preachers such as myself, we get tons of accolades for making you feel like your current emotional expression of God doing it is sufficient for that change to happen. And somebody has to say, it's not just your emotions, and it's not just your faith, and it's not just your feeling at that time. It's also your work. It's also your work with that heart change, your work with that mindset change, your work with that time of encouragement. These are necessary to see a better life for you to happen. And you know this is how we've been living because we now see our kids growing up the same way. We're trying to figure out where they get this from. Well, everybody gets an award for participating. And where'd they get this other thing from? Hello, somebody. Where they just feel like if they don't like it, they can just quit. Like, we can't even understand where these kids are getting this mindset until somebody puts a mirror right in front of us and say, you've been living this way. And they get it from watching you. For all the excuses you make, for all the justifications you make, for all the times you felt like this was sufficient for you to stop. This was sufficient for you to quit, for you to take a nap, for you to go to bed. Hello, somebody. And you never pushed past it. Now you see it replicating in our kids. A sense of entitlement. It had to come from the parent. They don't pick it up on their own. They spend more time with you than anybody else. They're watching you. They're listening to your words, how you complain, how you justify. Hello, somebody. How you make excuses. They're picking up on that, and they're using this to form their mindset. Wow. Not the words they say, but how they think. Wow. Yeah, good. How they think comes from us. Amen? Okay, so David Bach goes on to say, the reason you feel behind the financial curve, this is from last week, the reason you haven't been able to start saving and investing in your future the way you know you should be doing is not that your income is too small, it's that your outgo is too big. Amen? Amen. 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 That was from last week. It's all very, very true. On last week, our pamphlet on Renew Money gave us a wonderful scripture. Another scripture I wanted us to look at is Ecclesiastes 11, verse 2. It says, give a serving to seven, and translated, it could also mean invest in seven ventures, and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2. Now, if you read the entire section of Ecclesiastes 1 through maybe verse 6, it's really talking, Solomon, King Solomon is giving them instructions about those that are wealthy should be freely giving. They should be giving to the poor, and it's even though if it feels like they are giving in a way where they're not going to see it come back, they're just casting the bread upon waters, and it's just going to float out, and it won't have any return. He's saying it's not so. You should still be sowing and giving in as many ventures as you can sow and give. Amen? Come on and bless the Lord in the house today. Amen? Okay, so Ecclesiastes, pick up the podcast from last week. You're going to see a lot of great things in that. If you need a packet, when we give you the addition to your packet this week, you can also get a copy of last week's packet for your budgets. What we did on last week was very true in that some of us get paid weekly or biweekly, and we know bills happen the first of the month or the end of the month, however your bills are hit. So you plan your paychecks based off of the month that the bill is, you know, how the monthly bill is due, but you spend it biweekly. You plan monthly to pay a bill, but you actually spend your money biweekly. So what we've done in our handouts is we've used a technique for budgeting that says assign every dollar a purpose and a function. So now you are budgeting your money based off of when you get paid. So large chunks that are normally due at one day of the month are divided over several pay periods. And then small things that are due within one pay period are also divided among several payments. So some of you have found, number one, that you were operating in negative for a very long time. And so this is just proof that God has been keeping you. Because when you did them numbers, they did not add up. Hello, somebody, which is a miracle because you still had food. And most of you had shelter. Hello, somebody. That God was keeping you. And them numbers did not add up. Now we're going to be a good steward, and we're going to see where our numbers aren't adding up. And for right now, as a church, we're on a fast in terms of not buying anything that's not already in our house in terms of food and beverage. Just to see how much money. It's called the Latte Factor. I just created a Latte Factor for all of us where it won't be coffee. It will just be eating out and whatever takes our money. Amen. Hello? No, not funny. How many people are enjoying this? I tell you, it is not conducive for my lifestyle. I just want to be honest with y'all. This was worse than the diabetic obese fast, okay? This is not conducive. I live in a community where there are restaurants everywhere. And I'm like, how I would like to just pull right in and just grab me a chicken fajita right now. Right now. I don't even have to go home and cook it. And every time I put something on the slow cooker, it come out nasty. That slow cooker is my Achilles heel. And nobody told me if you put something in a slow cooker, it's best that you're not home. Because you smell this food all day. All day. I'm like constantly eating, waiting on the slow cooker to get done cooking. I don't think that was the plan. The whole neighborhood smelling like bourbon chicken. I'm like, is it done yet? Is it done? 2 more hours. Oh. It's terrible. My food never comes out good in the slow cooker. But nevertheless, we're going to find these factors, these hidden places where we are spending money. Some of us have even noticed that while the fast is not telling you can't buy clothing or you can't buy, you know, entertainment, you do feel a tug when you go to do something extra. That's an indication that under normal circumstances, you probably would have done that. And that would have been that money gone out of your wallet. Small things, $10 here, $4 there, $3 here. $2 here, $1.75 over here, $50 here, $25 there. Oh, it's just $30. That's really good when you compare it to this. And da 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 da. So all of these things are happening, and more than specifically in your budget worksheets, you're able to budget every paycheck. This means every time you get paid, a certain portion of that is going towards a bill. Every dollar is assigned versus whatever happens, happens. Big bill get paid. Maybe, if not, I can push it back till next pay period. And that continues to run a deficit. What you should notice by the end of this month, moving into your second month of this tight budget, is that you're going to spend a lot less money in overdraft fees and late fees. You're going to see that drastically fall off because now you're allocating a little bit of money per paycheck towards large bills. That means the large bills you would normally have to push off to a later date incur a late fee. Now you're no longer getting that late fee. That's $10, $35, $75, $100 to $150 in your bank account. Amen. Hello? Amen. That you would somehow try to figure out how to get. That's really robbing you somewhere else. So rather than going without because you have to pay a late fee and you don't have a choice, why not go without and keep that money? Make sense? All right. So how are you guys doing so far on that? It's tough. It's tough, but I'm starting to feel good about it. Anybody else feeling? I'm feeling budget slim. I'm feeling real budget slim. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm saving money for. I'm just saving it. I'm just feeling real budget slim right now. Some of you are like, well, I'm trying to come up. I see myself coming up to black. Hello? Coming up to level. Either way, don't you feel good? Feel really good about doing that. And that blesses me. Amen. So in Ecclesiastes, just picking up from that verse, I'm going to give you the third reason why Christians stay broke. And that's really going to lead to where we are today. I'm sure you can hear it already. The third reason why Christians stay broke, they don't diversify. Christians stay broke because they don't diversify. Ecclesiastes is saying, you know, sow your money into 7 ventures or even 8 because you don't know what's going to happen. Christians, we put all our eggs in one basket. My job. If I lose my job, I have no other source of income. WICs, welfare, unemployment, those things don't work out, have no source of income. We don't diversify. Which leads us to our focus on today, which is the side hustle. It is my desire that every member of my church has a side hustle. I can't make you all entrepreneurs, because some people are not built for that life. It's a tough life. It's a tough life. Everybody's not built for that. They need something bigger than them that'll be a little bit more stable than their own work. Does that make sense? But everyone should have a side hustle. This is tough, because what I want to happen is that every member of my church has another way of making money. It doesn't have to take you off your full-time job. It doesn't have to, unless you want it to. We're going to look at some of the goals here in a second. But you should have a way that you are constantly making money apart from whatever your full-time thing is. I said apart from your full-time thing. You know, my full-time thing is this one business, and I got different avenues of that one business. That's the same thing. It's the same thing. For example, Jewel, can I use you as an example? Jewel can coach tennis, and she can be a personal trainer. But at the end of the day, coaching tennis and personal training, if her body is sick, she has no way of making money. It's done. Your side hustle, finished. So in essence, in that area, she has not diversified. What we're looking for is ways for you to diversify and have a side way to bring in income that is uniquely different than your main way of bringing in income. Hello? Okay, all right. Ooh. Y'all, this is tough. This is tough, because this is not me preaching the gospel. I feel all tied up on the inside all week long. I can't put no extra sauce on it, you know. That's why you see me trying to get it all out in exhortation. And I'm like, yeah, Lord! Because after this, it's real nuts and bolts right now. It's real. But moving forward, we probably, in the future, these will become small group studies, conquering diabetes and obesity, renew money and handling finances. These will all be small groups. But right now, I think it's just so needed in my church. You know, I think it's needed in my church. And I have to be responsible for my church. Hello? Forget what everybody else is saying and what I should and shouldn't do. I need to be responsible for the needs of my own church. And it doesn't make sense for me to ask for money, to pump and pry you for money when you're going without, and I'm not giving you any skills to help you not go without. Does that make sense? If you're going to ask your church to give money, then you should also give them the tools to have a better life themselves. Hello? I just think it should go hand in hand. So I talked to Elder Sharon, you know, this is not my, and Minister Hudson, this is not my go get them series, but it's needed, amen? It's just needed. So right from the beginning of this journey, start thinking about your future, okay? Assume, this is a quote from David Bach, assume that the side hustle thing will work out. So right from the beginning, think about your future. And in this thought, I want you to assume that the side hustle thing will work out. What would that mean for you? What will be different about your life? And consider these three common goals of side hustlers. Which one speaks most to you? So I want you to assume that it's going to work, okay? And I want you to assume and to see how your life would be different if this worked. And I want you to pick one of these three goals as to why you are going to start your own side hustle, okay? Goal number one, make some extra cash for a specific purpose, whether to pay off a loan, to buy a big ticket item, take a vacation, or just build up your emergency fund. How many people have an emergency fund? Show your hands. Lift them high. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. That's a good thing. If you have an emergency fund, money that's emergency fund is at least 1 month to 2 months of living expenses. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Hands. They are reverse lifted. You had it. I had it, but I had to use it. I understand. Okay. All right. So number one, that might be a good goal for somebody. I need a side hustle so that I can build an emergency fund. Okay. That's a great reason. All right. Number two, Goal number two, maybe this is you better. This is more speaks more to you. Create a sustainable and ongoing source of income that makes a real difference in your quality of life. I just want to be able to travel. I want to be able to not stress about prescription medicine. I want to be able, see, it makes a difference in the quality of my life. And goal number three, to replace or exceed the income from your current job. Okay. Generally speaking, there are three broad categories of your side hustle. Okay. But for the most part, any one of these three goals, it's not a better, good, better, best. It's not. You get to pick whichever goal fits you.